Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-400-1702. Again, that's 800-400-1702. 800-400-1702. 800-400-1702.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
Okay, welcome, welcome. I suppose I haven't talked enough about the issue of terrorism and how this guy in office, I mean, I just can't believe it, why there isn't a massive uproar. I know it seems that I say this every day, every single day, Barry Soltero, in your face, it's in your face, the wave. With Raul Castro, his new friend. And these people are dying in Brussels. And he's walking around smiling. You know what's called? It's called optics. He doesn't care. We've been through this with the beheading of Foley. We've been through this with the immigrants killing in San Bernardino. I don't think that was San Bernardino, was it? And we've been through it a number of other things. And he's on the golf course, out on fundraisers. He left for Vegas for one of them. And here he is. It just, you know, ISIS doesn't matter. It matters that he has a good time. I would like to express how angry I am on radio. But if I did, it might be my last show. But I'm not alone, I can tell you that. And now he's off to Argentina, and there he is doing the tango. What a great gig. President of the United States. Don't have to worry about anything. And we are facing inevitable damage as these incidents continue to grow. And Obama says, you know, ISIS is not that big a threat and it's contained. You know, what are they dropping? 15 sorties a day and we drop thousands in Iran. I don't understand it. And part of the blame has to go around to the European countries and others who just aren't going to do anything to unify, to wipe this scum of the earth out. I don't understand it. Do we have to wait until this fundamental Islamic terror rears its ugly head and has a weapon of mass destruction, which I believe they have? Bill O'Reilly said it last night on his show. They're going to use it. They're going to use it. I don't want to scare anyone out there, but they have a different sense of human life. They actually want to die. A little bit like Iran. They want to die. It's in their theology. If you can kill everyone who's an infidel, you're going to have those 72 virgins. How come there hasn't been an outpouring and an outrage after what's going on in Brussels and France and other areas? I mean, a real outrage. We hear about the head of England. We hear about the head of France. We hear about Angela Merkel of Germany. Nobody does anything. When I say nobody does anything, nobody does anything. Where's NATO? We are at war. And it is apparent that people just don't consider this at war. They are winning. They are winning, and we are losing, and we're not doing anything to stop it. And I don't mean just acting in a military sense to halt violent jihad. I mean stopping every aspect of the civilization jihad being waged against the West. And unless we're going to fight this war the way it must be fought, we're not. We're really not. Fighting this war means acknowledging some really tough truths. Islam is no mere religion. It's a composition or a compilation of an ideological system that includes Sharia law, personal relationships, religious elements. And has anybody heard Obama ever say fundamental Islam? Nobody, none of the Democrats will say it. It's what denying the nose on your face exists. Why aren't people in an uproar instead of running to these primaries and pulling a ballot for Hillary Clinton? And I'll tell you what's getting scarier and scarier. She may be our next president. Because unless there's some shocking truth that comes out about an indictment, I think this whole thing has been squashed and buried. And I can't go up and down the line and say whether James Comey sold us all out, 150 FBI agents, overwhelming evidence, thousands of emails that were classified, and General David Petraeus, with what he should not have done, has really gotten punished. His life has been ruined. Nothing happens to Hillary Clinton. Nothing. And this is the world we live in. Nothing happens. We got to fight this war. And they don't acknowledge it, and Hillary doesn't acknowledge it. People say, well, she's tough. She's not tough in the way that will benefit America. She's tough when it comes to defending her own lack of character and her horrific actions. That's when she's tough, at a Benghazi hearing before Congress. That's a pathological individual right there. We got to fight like we fought the Nazis and the Soviet communists during the Cold War. And this isn't the same. We're dealing with a different element, but they're in Iraq, they're in Syria, and they are in Libya. And there's no way that they will stop. And how do you stop all these attacks? You'd stop them by cutting off illegal immigration into the countries. Then you got all these holier than thou and he interests in diversity and assimilation. Let them come in. I don't want to let them come in and risk my family and other Americans to what they are looking to do. Go to the mosques. You know, I'll say that is the single most appealing thing about Donald Trump. He doesn't mince his words. We've got to stop this threat before it metastasizes and fully consumes Western civilization. Yeah, we know about some borders being tightened. It hasn't been anywhere near enough, because we have to show compassion for these individuals. It's a violent jihad that, under all circumstances, is dedicated to killing you, to killing me and this family, and raising that ISIS flag in Washington, or the Iranian flag. I know we're dealing with different factions, but they are all pure evil. The refugees, you can't vet them. Trump is 100% right. You have to put a hold, as he says, on letting these immigrants in until we figure out what the hell is going on. Those are his words. I guess you can make those my words, too. And then you got somebody masquerading as president of the United States, running around the world, spending hundreds of millions of dollars worth of taxpayers' money, and showing how cool he is with his dancing, doing the wave, I could throw up. I mean, I could throw up. And why isn't there an outcry? Oh, there's criticism. There's no outcry. Barack Obama is a plague. He's a plague. And he's going to get through this term because there's nothing that can be done to stop him. And I don't know how many people are in, I don't know how many people are involved in cover-ups on all these scandals. And I don't know why people like John Roberts, for whom I've lost all respect for, caves in on things like Obamacare. What is the hold that Barack Obama has? I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you one thing. I never drank the Kool-Aid. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid now. And I never will drink the Kool-Aid. I know what he is. And many of our listeners do as well. And we're just going to hand this country over, or we're going to become a third world country, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to level the playing field. Off in Argentina now. Oh, yeah, that's a critical trip, isn't it? Embracing Cuba and rejecting Israel. Embracing Iran and rejecting his own United States of America. It's amazing. I guess you can say, I mean, how do you even find words? I guess I found a few. All right, something more pleasant. Aggravated.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Biz Talk Radio.
The Legal Exchange, Saturdays 1 to 2 p.m., a.m. 1120, WBNW.
Hello, this is Ann Coulter, author of 10 New York Times bestsellers, most recently Never Talk to a Liberal Over 3, and I just finished a great interview with Stu Taylor.
All right, our first guest of the morning, much more pleasant than the first segment, if you don't like stress. Joining us is Mary Schaller, S-C-H-A-L-L-E-R. She's the author of Deadly Distrust. It's published by Ex Libris. You can go to exlibris.com, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. And the first five callers will begin it right now at 888-205-2263. 888-205-2263. We'll get a free copy sent out. Just leave your name and your address with Mike. And no phone number, nothing else, and you'll get a copy of the book. Mary, welcome. It's nice to have you on.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you.
So tell me about the book. It sounds like a real mystery, and it's got a lot of different components to it. Give us an overview on the book and why you wrote it.
Well, it's called Deadly Distrust. It is a novel with everything a mystery enthusiast would find appealing. It is a fantastic story about murder, betrayal, and romance. The story keeps the readers guessing, and there's a twist around every corner. Just when the reader thinks they have everything figured out, something else happens to throw them off. If you like to read a gripping mystery with lots of page-turning action, a tight plot, and a steamy romance, then I would recommend this book, Deadly Distrust.
Mary, is this your first work as an author?
Yes, it is.
All right, congratulations. How is the experience working out, and how would you introduce this book to a friend?
Well, it's a wonderful book that, especially for the person who loves mysteries, like I do, I wanted to produce a mystery novel that developed characters really well, because when I read other people's mysteries, if the male author didn't develop their female roles very well, and if it was a female author, they didn't always develop their male roles. So I wanted to produce a book that was full of very heavy tension and had very well developed characters, so they could almost breathe.
When and where does the story in the book take place?
It starts in September of 1979 in San Francisco, California. I chose this time because it was just before the AIDS epidemic and morals were very loose. I selected autumn because that's when the wild mushrooms bloom. The choice of San Francisco was made because it was It is a cosmopolitan city with interesting characters that make up the fabric. I know this city well, and I'm a third-generation Californian. I spent my childhood searching mushrooms in Marin County. I also sent my characters to Amador County in the foothills of the Sierra. This area is a good place for lovers to have privacy, and it's only a day's drive from San Francisco.
Who does the book really appeal to and why? And are there any writers whom you emulated in coming up with this story?
Well, the book is perfect for women, especially nurses. Many nurses have difficulty working with doctors who do not listen to their warnings about patient health. And sometimes doctors are under the influence of drugs, and this makes working with them extremely difficult. I know that from experience. I want to warn women about men who seduce them and entice them with expensive meals and travel. And sometimes they use drugs to seduce unwary women. These men do not necessarily like to take responsibility for these women when they get pregnant. And abuse of women is also something I wanted to warn my readers about. 1 in 5 women is raped or physically abused in her lifetime. It is ironic that cats and dogs have more protection than women. And that is great for our four-legged friends, but you shouldn't the whole population of humans have that same benefit?
How is this book different from other books with carrying the same topical matter? What sets it up? I know you already elaborated on that by saying there are really twists and turns when you don't expect them, but can you add something to that?
Well, I used the poisonous mushroom in Deadly Distress as a murder weapon, and that is unusual. This is a tool of death often used in mysteries. Most books about murder use guns and knives, and in addition, I use the environment of San Francisco and the Golden Gate Bridge setting in ways unlike other mysteries. This book is also has well-developed characters which are unpredictable, like real people, by having the characters talk about each other and letting the reader eavesdrop on their thoughts. Helps to make the characters multifaceted. The tonality of the story itself is different. While most books will stray away from darker themes, this story embraces them. It is a book about secrets, dysfunction, distrust, and how you can never really know a person. And I have a quote from the book that illustrates how I eavesdrop on my character's thoughts. This is a female character who has been romancing with the detective. And she says, she thinks, he wants me to trust him. But if he doesn't accept me, how can he ask me to put much faith in him? I could care very much for him, but I'm too afraid of being hurt, and that immobilizes me.
What one thing do you want a reader to take away from this book?
In the book, a mycologist on a field trip explains the wild mushrooms of California. What the reader will gain is an informal knowledge of the general techniques of acquiring these delicacies and learn to decide between poisonous and edible ones. However, one should never eat a wild mushroom unless you have expert knowledge of them. One character in the book gets poisoned by Amanita or Criada, which is a very deadly mushroom that looks to the ordinary person like...
All right, we have to move on. I think, great job. Deadly Distrust. Ex Libris, Mary Shallow. You'll love the book. An intriguing story. Mary, thank you. Great job.
Thank you.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Every floor in stock is on sale at Lumber Liquidators' end-of-quarter clearance sale. 100 million square feet of top-quality flooring is priced to move. Get incredible deals on 60 styles of North American and European laminate, including the look of oak, maple, or cherry for under a dollar. 200 styles of pre-finished hardwood from just 99 cents. Save $2 a square foot on beautiful Bellawood 3/4-inch solid Brazilian cherry and get pre-finished solid bamboo from $149. Plus wood-look tile, vinyl plank, and more from 69 cents and pay no interest until 2018. The end-of-quarter clearance sale is going on now, so visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you today.
Aches, pains, looking for a solution to silence arthritis? Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is the answer. Use it for arthritis pain, strains, sprains, bruises, and more. Don't let your achy joints and muscles slow you down. Make you feel like you again. Give Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream a try today. Beat the pain.
Available in stores nationwide.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio. You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is Martin Fetch. I'm a special freelance correspondent for NBC News, and I've just done an interview which I enjoyed very much with Stu Taylor.
This is Tommy Stadlin. He's a technology entrepreneur and former McKinsey & Company consultant. The book is co-written with Robert Nuttall, a partner with McKinsey & Company, and also John Brown, a chief executive of BP from 1995 to 2007, and now the executive chairman of L1 Energy. And he's the author of several other books. The name of this book is Connect, How Companies Succeed by Engaging Radically with Society. And it is published in hardcover by Public Affairs. Tommy, welcome to the show. Congratulations. Tommy, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. I didn't hear anything. Welcome to the... Okay, I guess we're connected now.
So we have connected successfully.
Let me ask you. This sounds rather controversial in terms of the subtitle of the book, How Companies Succeed by Engaging Radically with Society. There are negative connotations to the word radically. You want to clarify that?
Well, what we think is that there needs to be a radical mindset shift. Business needs to do something radically different. And that's because we are facing a chasm that exists between business and society that really goes back 2,000 years. This is not a new problem. Companies have been making the same mistakes over and over again for 2,000 years in terms of their relationship with society. And that's fundamentally because business is very, very good at engaging with consumers, with its customers. But what we've seen traditionally is companies forget that there is a bigger world out there. Their stakeholders include government and regulators, nonprofits, civil society, consumer groups. There is a bigger world out there and a bigger context in which business exists. And business exists to serve society. And too often business has forgotten that. And this is not just because it's good for society, and we're not saying this because, you know, we want business to do the right thing for the sake of doing the right thing. There's a lot of value at stake here. And part of the research that we did through McKinsey & Company for the book, we found that 30% of a company's value is at stake from its interactions with governments and regulators and all those stakeholders I mentioned. So this is a hardcore business issue that CEOs really need to get a grip with.
You know, it used to be, I can't remember when, maybe 10 years ago, the biggest problems with businesses was defined as the trust factor. And this is a real breaking of the bond with the consumer. Are we making progress there? Are we becoming more socially conscious?
You know, Stu, there are some great leaders in this area, but broadly, no. Broadly, there is a huge trust deficit. So our research found that only 18% of people trust business leaders to tell the truth, which is a pretty shocking statistic if you think about it. So people don't trust business leaders. They don't trust CEOs in particular. And what they think they're getting when they hear a CEO talk on TV or the radio is a version of the truth, not the truth itself. I think people are very, very smart when it comes to hearing spin and PR. And business leaders are not doing a job of connecting with regular people.
Tommy, I'm looking at your co-author here, John Brown, chief executive of BP. Well, that kind of raises eyebrows, doesn't it, after what happened with BP and the oil spill? How do you relate that to what's in the book?
Absolutely. So my co-author, John Brown, Lord John Brown, was CEO of BP from the 90s to the mid-2000s. So he was not actually CEO when the Macondo oil spill happened, but he describes in the book the shock and the anger he felt when he saw what we all saw on television and those iconic images of oil gushing into the Gulf of Mexico and the reputation of BP going into the Gulf of Mexico with those images. So John was no longer the CEO when that happened, but he talks in great detail about the lessons learned from that incident. In fact, John was a visionary leader. John was CEO of BP in 1997 when he was the first big oil chief executive to acknowledge that climate change was man-made. And he sort of left the church in terms of leaving the oil industry, taking a step change and saying, we need to change here. So John's someone who really gets this issue. And BP, the company, after he left, changed course. And we all saw what happened with the terrible, terrible environmental damage caused in the Gulf of Mexico.
This research by McKinsey, obviously a very high-profile name, McKinsey and well-respected. What was some of the most surprising findings in the research coming out of this book?
The most interesting finding we got from the McKinsey research was what we call the 30-30-30 rule. So what we found, as I said, was that 30% of the value of a company is at stake from its interactions with society. So there's this huge pot of money there. But we also found that CEOs spend, on average, about 30% of their time on this issue. So there's a lot of time being spent by CEOs on the issue. But the final 30 is less than 30%. So that's less than 30% of CEOs reported success in their interactions with regulators, with government, with NGOs. So CEOs are spending a lot of time on the issue. There's a lot of money at stake. But under 30% of people are reporting success. So because of that, we see this as the final frontier of competitive advantage. If you think how hard companies have to work to gain, you know, a single percentage point differential versus competitors on operations or marketing or technology, here is this massive amount of money that they can go and get. And to get it, they've got to professionalize. They have to professionalize the connection with society. And at the moment, it is, in most businesses, a pretty unprofessionalized function.
Pardon my cynicism here, but I think you and your co-writers have come up with an idealistic view that government can work with business. I think that's as polarized as what we see in politics today with the Republicans and the Democrats. And government may be one of the most efficient entities anywhere. How is that even reasonably possible?
You're absolutely right. It's a big problem. Government has to play its role here, too. And it's been fascinating watching the election play out. And I think the one thing that Trump and Clinton and Bernie Sanders can agree on is that we need a war on business. You know, that's what we hear in a lot of the language in the debate. It's about a war on business because that wins votes. People are angry at business. And, of course, you know, it's right for government to stand up to abuses by business. But actually what we need is a much more proactive route for engagement, because we as society and we as government, we need business to solve a lot of the problems. You know, it's fascinating. We found, we looked at the biggest social burdens that the world faces. So things like obesity, smoking-related diseases, climate change, war. All of these are issues which you can't solve without business. You cannot solve those issues without business. And so we need to get to a place where we can trust business enough to work with it. And, you know, on some issues, we've seen that work very, very well. If you remember acid rain and all those problems and the ozone, that was an issue where business and government came together and solved it really effectively. And we're starting to see some of those same patterns of engagement on climate change, on obesity, you know, even obesity, because government needs to solve that problem. And you get the big consumer groups, consumer food companies, and they're figuring out we need to solve that issue. So we're looking at food technology to try and solve that issue. So there are really good examples of working closely with government and business. But you're right, we need to do it way better.
Tommy, close to 100 corporate leaders were interviewed by you and your co-authors. Is there a common thread that came out of those interviews, some common characteristics, or were they diverse in what you found?
They were pretty diverse. And I guess one of the interesting findings, we went to Wall Street and we interviewed all of the bank CEOs. And, you know, what we found was a surprisingly good grasp on history. You know, these guys got what the value at stake was, and they understood that there has been a long history of anti-business sentiment. But what we found was almost an acceptance that anti-business sentiment is inevitable. You know, there was a lot of talk about the fact that when economic times are tough, people turn against business and there's nothing you can do about it. And then when the good times come, people forget and memory shifts on and everything's okay again. And for us, that was the wrong way of looking at it, because there is a way to break the cycle of anti-business sentiment, and we have to do that. You can't just accept it. And I think that that thinking is the reason why you've seen this go on for 2,000 years. You've seen companies rise and fall based on their inability to connect with society. So that was what we found in finance. But we found something very, very different in technology. So we went to Silicon Valley and we spoke to a lot of the tech founders. And there we found something a little bit different, a little bit more of long-term thinking, more of a desire to connect with society. And I think that's partly because of the nature of some of these CEOs. Often they have large stakes in the company, so they think longer term. They tend to be from a new generation who thinks a little bit more coherently about the relationship with society. And so there's
Tommy,
some really good
Tommy, can you stay it. Over for an, for another segment?
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break. Fascinating book, John Brown, Robin Nuttall, and I guess Tommy Stadlin. The book is Connect, How Companies Succeed by Engaging Radically with Society. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain relieving braces too for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-439-MY-TV. That's 1-877-439-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-439-MY-TV. That's 1-877-439-MY-TV.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute, free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Biz Talk Radio.
Highness, morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM.
This is Jim Woolsey, former director of Central Intelligence, and I'm glad you're listening along with me to Stu Taylor.
Our guest, Tommy Stadlin, the book, Connect, How Companies Succeed by Engaging Radically with Society. Let me look at this from a different perspective, in a disconnect, Tommy. In a disconnect, I can give two examples in the automobile industry, Volkswagen and Toyota. What is the analysis of that, and what have they done to correct their tarnished image?
Those are two really good examples, actually. And what was interesting about Volkswagen is when their emissions scandal news broke, they were actually the same week announced as the most sustainable company in the world. They were ahead of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. And for me, that just outlined how broken the current way of companies engaging with society is. And that current way is so-called sustainability or corporate social responsibility. And that's the way companies have been taught to deal with society. And it reminds me of Enron. I'm sure you know the listeners will remember.
Oh, goodness. The poster child.
Enron, you know, the world's biggest accounting scandal. Same thing with them. That year that they went bust, they won every single environmental award going. And it just shows the disconnect between CSR, which is a kind of fluffy, nice-to-have, which doesn't really affect the core business, and really connecting with society. And that's what you saw with VW. They were doing great on the CSR side, the corporate social responsibility side, but at the core of the business, something was rotten. And that's what we've got to get away from.
But you can't paint all these companies with one broad stroke. But I looked at the automobile industry, the energy industry. Take us to Silicon Valley, and what have you got to say there?
Well, it's really interesting because I think what we're seeing is a shift in public perception about Silicon Valley. And people are starting to stop seeing these companies as sort of plucky Californian startups. And people are starting to realize that they're huge, and they're huge companies with a lot of power. They hold a lot of our data. There are issues about the emergence of artificial intelligence. There are a lot of big, juicy societal issues there. And since the Edward Snowden affair, there has been an effort in Silicon Valley to start to connect with society over things like privacy. You've seen Apple take a stand, quite bravely in my view, against the government on security and say, no, we have to stand up with citizens. We have to stand up on society for privacy. And so that's interesting. But it's not just Apple. You're seeing it with the so-called sharing economy companies like Uber and Airbnb. And they realize that their huge valuations, Uber is now valued at over $60 billion. Those valuations are predicated on Uber's ability to win very localized political battles city by city all over the world. They've got to deal with problems in London, in Sao Paulo, in Paris, different issues in different cities. But to get their new way of doing things allowed, it's all about local regulations. So it's really they're in a political campaign as much as in a business campaign.
What are the most common situations business leaders regularly confront in which a connected approach will be most essential?
I think one thing we found from interviewing 80 CEOs in the book Connect was the difficulty CEOs face engaging with government. You know, we interviewed Paul Ottolini, who was the CEO of Intel, the chip maker. And, you know, he grew up in very much as a business guy and then got the job of CEO and suddenly felt he had to go to Washington 12 times a year and deal with government and regulators. And he'd have said, look, I wasn't prepared for that. No one trained me for that kind of negotiation in business. What my co-author John Brown did at BP was he brought in people like Madeleine Albright to teach negotiation skills in business. And so it's about gaining different skills. One interesting thing going back to Uber was they brought in Obama's campaign manager from 2008, David Plouffe, as the guy to fight the political campaign, because you've got to have specialist skills here as well as CEOs taking these issues on.
All right, not one of my favorite people, that's for sure. Tommy, as we look at history and we look at in the stock market, you look at cycles and history of corporations, even with advanced technology that repeats itself. What can you say about your approach in terms of connection and the fact that what may be down the road in terms of what mistakes companies will continue to make and which ones we can correct?
So I see the ability to connect with society is defining competitive advantage over the next 5 years. I think connecting with society will become more important. And there are three reasons for that, three trends. The first is technology. So the emergence of disruptive technology is going to change the way we perceive business. And that's because mobile connectivity will allow people to shine a light on good practices and bad practices. So there's more transparency. Technology also offers the ability for companies to solve society's most pressing needs without changing their business model. So if you think about, for example, obesity and the ability to use technology to reduce sugar in food and drink. And finally on technology, the fear of technology. There is a very real fear of things like artificial intelligence, about privacy, and business needs to confront that head on. So technology will make this issue more important. The second reason that this will become more important is the emergence of the most demanding and educated global population in the history of the world. People all over the world are getting richer, better educated, better access to information, and as that happens, they'll expect more of business. And the final interesting trend here is the shift of the relationship between business and society to emerging markets. So you're getting huge companies in China and India, and they're having to overcome a trust deficit. So for example, if you're headquartered in Germany, you get trusted by about 75% of the world's population on average. If you're coming out of China or India, you're trusted only by about a third of people around the world. So there's a really interesting trust deficit that has to be overcome by those companies. So I see this becoming more important over time. And just to bring it back to sort of hardcore business finances, what we found was that companies who connect, on average, gain a stock market performance return over their competitors of 2% per annum, which adds up significantly, you know, 20% over a decade. There is a real reason to do this for the bottom line.
All right, we've got less than a minute. Maybe you could just quickly give an answer to the question about maybe a couple of the major tenets for achieving connected leadership that companies and executives must do.
Absolutely. So overall, this is about integrating societal and environmental concerns into the heart of the business. And there are four things that companies can do to achieve this. The first is to map your world. It's to have a sensing mechanism for what are the big trends out there, how am I impacting society, who are my stakeholders. The second is to define your contribution. And that goes beyond just making money. It's saying, what do I give to the world? What is the purpose of my business? That's very powerful for the outside world, and it's powerful for your employees. The third thing is to apply world-class management to societal engagement. So it's saying, let's break away from corporate social responsibility and let's get the best people in the business in the line thinking about this.
All right, Tommy Stadlin, thanks so much. We have to disconnect now because the show is over, but the book is Connect, How Companies Succeed by Engaging Radically with Society. A pleasure having you on, Tommy, and a pleasure having you all listening. This is Stu Taylor. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.